Hi, I'm Dave O'Neill.
I'm Kitty Flanagan, and we're from the Sweet and Salty Roundabout, also known as
The Junkies. So please tune in. If you're listening to Ingridopedia with Ben and Emily, you'll probably like our show.
Yeah.
We do. We talk about lollies, chips, chocolate.
Yeah. They probably talk about better food than we do. They've a better got some, class of food.
They've got some great episodes here. I've just been having a bit of a listen. Very good. In fact, I'm going to steal some of the ideas. Anyway, whatever.
If you need a sugary break, switch over to The Junkies.
The Junkies, where you find all your podcasts.
How many times can you freeze and unfreeze peas that you use as an ice pack?
There's no number. There's no number high enough.
The limit does not exist.
There's no limit. That's right, isn't it?
That's right.
Okay.
Cool. I assume so. I haven't researched it, but that's what we're going with.
Okay, fine. Let's go with that. Hi, you're listening to Ingridopedia, Australia's pottiest food podcast.
Good one.
It's a pod. The peas are in a...
Yeah, I get it.
I'm Ben Birchall, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Emily Naismith. Hi, Em.
Hello, everybody. Today we're talking about peas. It's a cheap one. It's a cost of living crisis. Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Ben, what makes your blood boil in relation to food? Are there any sounds that you can't stand?
No, I don't have the sound thing. I mean,
what about the sound of like your range hood when you're cooking?
I don't have a range hood. There's a space where the range hood used to be, and there's just a big void.
Well, that's ideal because that sounds like a peaceful kitchen. Yeah, I feel like peaceful. I want to kill someone when the range hood's on.
Does it kind of do that?
No, it's just like a very loud, overstimulating noise. I'm just like, oh, get this thing off. I'd rather have a steamy kitchen.
Miss having a range hood.
In addition to that, the other noise I can't stand is the sound of people eating frozen peas.
What? Hang on. Who eats frozen peas around
Well, here? I don't want to name names, but I've heard it a lot in my life and I've dragged the person enough and I don't need to go into the detail at this time, but I will read out an example of my hatred for the sound that I wrote in the Frankie article a few years ago. Article's called Sound and Fury. Mm-hmm. Here's a little snippet. What do you feel when someone hoes into an apple while standing next to you? What about when they crush ice blocks between their molars or demolish a whole raw carrot within a few mouthfuls? If the answer is pure, unadulterated, burning rage, I completely understand. How dare they have the audacity to eat near you? Goes on a little bit and then the pee bit comes up. All of my worst trigger sounds, coincidentally, come from Redacted's favourite snacks. The rustle of plastic before the inevitable rhythmic crunch of multigrain biscuits, the dull thwack of giant carrots being slowly mouth pulverised, and worst of all, the chink of frozen peas being shaken against a mug, then popped like tiny ice balloons between their back teeth.
Wow. I didn't even know that this was a thing that people did.
I know. So Redacted. You've never heard of eating frozen peas before.
Redacted has found a whole new way to make your blood boil with frozen foods.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
This person doesn't do it anymore, I should say.
Are you married to this person, would you say?
No comment. Okay. No comment. Right. But it is a thing that a few people do because when I wrote this article, a few people got in touch and they're like, I do that. Anyway, there's a Reddit thread asking, does anybody else eat frozen peas as a snack? To which someone replied, I love frozen peas. I'm eating them now. I thought I was the only one. To which someone else replied, same. I'm doing so right now. So who are these freaks? Who are they and why are they doing it? And what makes someone want to eat a frozen pea? As someone with sensitive teeth, I cannot even fathom crunching a frozen pea in my molars. Oh, like it just makes my nerves in my teeth die thinking about it. Secondly, peas are kind of nice defrosted. Hot tip. but mainly it's the sound. Like the sound is very bad. It sounds like it hurts. So I was researching why people might crave eating frozen peas. And I thought it's kind of similar to eating ice blocks when you think about it. And I think craving ice, as in eating ice blocks, can be indicative of an underlying iron deficiency. Oh. So if you're craving frozen peas, maybe get your iron levels checked. And to stay on the medical side of things for a second, it's actually unsafe to eat frozen peas. And that's not just me saying that because it shits me. Like, I'm genuinely saying it from a medical perspective. An article in The Age from 2018 titled Thaw Point, Experts Warn on Eating Frozen Vegetables While Still Frozen. It says, food scientists and food safety experts say a common misconception is that it's safe to eat vegetables while they're still frozen, has contributed to an Australia-wide product recall announced on Monday. Woolworths, IGA, Aldi, Campbell's and other independent grocery stores have been instructed by Food Standards Australia New Zealand to pull varieties of frozen vegetables from their shelves for fear they could be contaminated by listeria. So it goes on to say that because frozen fruit, which you can eat frozen, and frozen vegetables are side by side in the supermarket, people assume it's okay to eat frozen vegetables still frozen, but it's not. Like, even aside from the recall thing, you can still get listeria from frozen vegetables if they're not, like, cooked to 75 degrees or something to kill the bacteria. So in conclusion of this rant, the stove is your friend. The microwave is your friend. Let's not get listeria, people. This is a rallying cry to please, for the love of my eardrums, defrost your peas.
Thank you.
Community service announcement.
Vote one, Emily Nesmith. Okay, Emily. Okay, I'm getting that you don't eat your peas frozen.
Correct.
How do you like to eat your peas?
I don't often.
Cooked.
Cooked.
Yeah.
Firstly, cooked. Not icy. In fried rice.
Sure.
In risotto.
Yep. Risotto Milanese, for example, yeah.
Well, prawn and pea risotto.
Oh, yeah, prawn and pea, that's always a good one.
That's about it, really.
Have you ever had or are you familiar with the pie floater?
Yes. So this is a pie floating in pea soup, isn't
it? Peas, yeah, like a pea soup.
Yeah, I've heard of this.
Okay, well.
Never had one.
This is how it's described in Gastro Obscura. And I haven't had the Adelaide version, which is, you know, basically an upturned pie. In a bowl of soup, but there's a Sydney version that Harry's Cafe de Wheels used to have where it's mash with peas and gravy on top, which is a similar vibe, a more solid vibe, I guess. But this is how Gastro Obscura described them. The dish, which is the Australian offspring of two traditional British foods, consists of a beef pie, heavy with gravy, encased in flaky pastry, a meat pie, turned upside down into a bowl of thick pea soup.
Oh, it's upside down.
Yeah. The pie floater is a specialty of Adelaide, South Australia, which was settled by the British back in the 1830s. By the 1870s or 1880s, vendors sold them from horse-drawn carts, likely inspired by English floaters, a dish that mixed pea soup with dumplings, eels or saveloys.
Eels?
Yeah, I've had that before.
Pea soup and an eel.
Yeah, yeah. I did. Oh, actually, no, I did eels and mash. I think there was, there was mushy peas on the side. Yep.
Okay, it was, so it's not a soup. It's just like... It's kinda, more like mashed potato but peas.
Yeah, with like jellied eels. It was not good. It was not a good thing.
No.
And I
don't like that combo.
I was in Greenwich. I thought it was an English thing to do. And I ate most things, but it was not good. it describes here, Gastro Obscura describe saveloys here as a hot dog-esque sausage traditionally made of brain.
Really?
Didn't know that. It was the late night eat of Adelaide for decades. Hawkers served pie floaters with plenty of tomato sauce, essentially Australian ketchup that contains no vinegar, again another thing I've learnt, and optional Worcestershire sauce for a peppery kick. While a pie floater is certainly a hearty meal, its popularity has been in decline since the Great Depression, which is quite a long time ago, nearly 100 years. Losing its monopoly on the after-hours meal market seems to be the cause. Some commenters credit the arrival of fast food options such as McDonald's for the near-total disappearance of pie carts.
Yeah, right.
So McDonald's has ruined...
I would prefer McDonald's, pie to floaters. Be fair. I would prefer a Big Mac than it.
But you're not from Adelaide. Maybe, you know, if you've grown up on that. So that's the pie floater. It's wholly Australian. It's idiosyncratic. It's weirdly delicious. It derives from something British but kind of gets it a bit weird and wrong. And it's endangered. So how can we preserve it? And I've got a plan.
Mm.
Not by making a good version of it. No, no. Maybe the best way to preserve it is as a chip flavor.
Okay, now we're talking.
If you think about it, barbecue, Great Australian Barbecue, has a flavor. Sausage Sizzle, that had a short-lived flavor. Red Rooster has a flavor. That's endangered as well. Tomato sauce, that had its own Samboy flavor for a while. Mm. Meat pies had their own flavor. I was looking for them, the meat pie thins, that very recently, but I couldn't find any. I think they might still be around, but I couldn't find.
Maybe your reject shop type places.
I think so. Mm. So they've all had flavors. Pie floaters have never had a chip flavor until today, Emily.
Well, this is exciting because there are pea chips, aren't there?
That is correct. There are. So, and by the way, it has been attempted. A guy was sort of making it like fully like freeze drying ingredients and doing like chef-y things. I didn't think we needed that because if you think about it, there's three components. There's peas, there's meat pie, and there's tomato sauce. So I could have bought a dehydrator. I could have made the ingredients. But all those ingredients were already existing in chip form.
So you take the easy option, obviously.
Easy option. Okay, so peas. Simple. Got some here. I crushed up some pea crisps.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to say like you buy like a pea snack, you buy like a meaty barbecue snack and you buy a tomato sauce snack and put them together.
Yes, I have. But I've made them into a powdered form in my trusty mortar and pestle. So this is pea crisps. Okay, peas. Done.
Amazing.
Put some on some chips here. It's a dusting of it. Peas goes on first. It's the bottom. Meat pie. That's a bit harder, trickier, because the meat pie thins I mentioned weren't available. Mm. But I improvised with Smith's Netflix Rebel Moon Motherworld Feast Roast Beef Garlic and Herb. I don't know what that strange food collaboration is, but it's described as prepared by the finest chefs of Motherworld, the garlic and herb roast beef banquet has become an exquisite gastronomic event reserved only for the highest ranking commanders and officials until today. Don't know what that
I'm
means.
I'm assuming that's a gaming thing.
Don't know what the show is. Don't know what the game is. But I saw beef in there. So this is a beef flavored chip. So that is standing in as our pie.
Okay. These are the most seasoned chips I've ever seen.
Well, I was going to give it to you as just like in a shot glass because that's how I tried it. I was just doing shots of this stuff. Now, tomato sauce. What are we using for tomato sauce? Samboy tomato sauce flavored chips, again, not around. Can you think
of a
chip adjacent snack that has tangy tomato sauce flavor?
Twisties.
Incorrect. Give you the acid of tomato sauce and take off the roof of your mouth.
Ooh.
Ladies and gentlemen, tasty tubes.
Oh.
Tubes that disappeared and came back. They are tomato flavored. So our final component here. In our
not a huge tubes, gal.
Well, that's the, you need the acidity.
Okay. Are you doing anything with ratios? Because I noticed you put a lot less tubes flavouring.
The ratios are all over the shop. There would be less tomato sauce, so I've gone
less. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. Here you are. I'm giving you four different chips, four different ratios.
Oh, right. So these are purposefully different.
No, not at all.
So do I take one chip?
Just take one chip. Okay. I'll take another one. This one looks vaguely correct.
Cheers.
Cheers. Pie floater chips. I mean, they're not bad.
It's great. It's like they don't taste like three separate chips. I think they work well together.
Well, you know what the binding agent is, of course.
MSG?
Yeah. I actually added a little bit more. Just threw it into the peas because I thought they could have used a little pep.
Bit of a boost.
A little bit of extra.
So what was your base pea snack?
Just like the plain...
Harvest snaps. Yeah, they're good.
Pea snacks. And they crushed up really nicely. Mm. I mean, I don't know whether it's going to take off. I'm going to shop it around to a few places.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Kettle first. I feel like they'll take it. I think that's what I've used as the base chip here.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you know how I go.
Delicious. Well, let's make some big bucks out of big chip. Ben, you just made a delicious pea-adjacent snack.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to talk about pea snacks.
Good, good, good.
I want to start. I've got a bit of an embarrassing confession to make. You know wasabi peas?
Mm.
Do you like wasabi peas?
I like wasabi peas a lot.
Yeah. Well, I've been familiar with them for a lot of my life because my mum loved them when I was little, but they were too intense for me, so I didn't partake. But it was only in the research for this podcast that I realized wasabi peas are actually peas. They're wasabi flavored peas.
You thought that they were...
I don't know what I thought they were.
Like the pea of the wasabi plant.
Yeah, or like just a little bit of wasabi in a pea ball shape or something. I don't think the thought had ever...
Dehydrated pea coated with flavoring.
No, definitely not. Absolutely not that.
Thank you for sharing that.
No worries.
I think less of you, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners also do.
I know. Yeah.
But go on.
Anyway.
Do go on.
Moving on. That's one example of a pea snack. Mind blown. Other pea snacks that I'm more familiar with, as in fitting into the umbrella of the pea, are, like you said, harvest pea snacks. I feel like they're absolutely delicious, especially the salt and vinegar flavor. Yeah. And I love that they're like twisties texture.
Yeah.
They're really good. Made by Kalbi, the Japanese snack brand. Mm. They make these potato straws that I used to buy every day or every night in Japan, and then I'd wake up early and eat them in bed while I waited for my sister to wake up. And that was my like pre-breakfast snack, and that was delicious. Anything Kalbi touches is god tier. Another pea snack favorite, crab-flavored peas. Have you had them?
I have not.
They're from Asian grocers, and they're made by a Chinese company called Ganyuan. And they're basically crispy peas with a crab flavoring and like onion powder and MSG. And they are so good. Another pea snack highlight, Buja snacks. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
So they've got the crispy peas in there, and then they've got like the fried noodles and the peanuts and the sultanas.
And just occasionally of like the chip that are in there are very, very good.
So good. So they're some of my favorite pea snacks. But to add some challenge to this fact, instead of just like talking about all my favorite pea snacks, I wanted to make something. I wanted to bring something to the pea snack discourse.
Not just crush them into a powder and mix them with other things. Okay, sure. Fine.
So I found a recipe for crunchy roasted peas on this website called Cook It Real Good. It had 265 star reviews. And in their recipe, you defrost frozen peas, dry them with a tea towel, mix them in a bowl with olive oil, sea salt and garlic powder, and air fry until crispy. I did that a few days ago. They were pretty good, but I thought I need to take this up a level. And Ben, I don't want to make you get a big head, but I did like the popcorn snacks you made the other day with the mee goreng, Indomie mee goreng, noodle flavoring.
I did good.
So you've inspired my pea flavoring for today. I went to the Asian grocer and I'm like, what noodle flavoring can I bring to the chip industry? And let me present to you Laksa, Assam Laksa flavored pea snacks. So I got this one. I think it's a product of Malaysia, this like blue and orange Yeo's Mi Segera Pariza Assam Laksa.
Yeah, Mi Segera. Yeah. So Yeo's make it. Okay. I didn't even know. So Yeo's make the like chrysanthemum tea and like those little sweet teas that you get in a box drink.
Yeah. Okay. So these are my crispy peas.
They sound crispy.
Yep. I just put the noodle flavoring on after I cooked them. Would you like to try my Laksa peas?
Very much. Okay. Oh. They are good.
They're so good.
They've got some kick. But they are delicious. And actually that, it's got a bit of a tom yum vibe to it as well. Like it's very lemongrass forward.
I nearly went with tom yum, but then I thought we both love, both love Laksa. So
yeah,
went with that. So yeah, we're both bringing pea snacks to society today.
Well,
I think we're wasted on this podcast.
mine had an Australian vibe. Yours is international. I feel like we're covering it from all angles. Mm-hmm. Let's take this thing on the road. Emily, I want to take you back to our ham episode.
Yep.
On our ham episode, we talked about how many days or weeks it was okay to keep eating a ham after Christmas. Do you remember what it was?
I think it was about three, depending on, like, assuming that you wrap it correctly and handle it correctly.
Yeah. And
Potentially longer if you do as well.
Yeah, you could go up to like maybe New Year's or something like that.
Oh, it was more than that. Like I'm talking about 3 weeks.
Oh, 3 weeks. Okay, well, I feel like I'm safe here then. I should have listened back to our own episode. I felt like I was taking it up to the line, but maybe I'm safe. If I made a soup with the bone and the rest of the ham on like the 3rd or 4th of January of this year, would you say that was...
Yeah, so the bone's been in the fridge for that long.
Wrapped.
And this is now March slash...
No. It's been... I made it on the 3rd or 4th of January. Then I froze that soup.
Yes. Oh, you froze it. Yeah. Okay.
So what if I froze that soup? How long would that last?
Oh, I don't know, a year?
Well, according to Food 52, soups store them up to 3 months in the freezer, or broths can last up to 6 months.
Yeah. So well, I would double that.
Maybe I've taken it up to one line and then maybe I've taken it up to another line. Because if I dated that 3 months back to, we're a little bit over.
That's okay.
That's okay?
Yeah.
Theoretically, you would eat.
Is this the test whether I die or not?
Because, Emily, I have here this Christmas's pea and ham soup that I'm serving for you now.
Well, this is interesting because I did get to try the Christmas ham that you had.
Yeah.
Now I'll be able to taste it.
Yeah, that's right. So here's the soup.
Deadly soup form.
I'll throw a couple of croutons in there as well.
They're huge croutons.
They were quite big. Because pea and ham soup is the best thing to do with peas, in my estimation.
Yes.
Like, as you mentioned, pea and prawn pasta, pea and prawn risotto, good.
Mm.
But pea and ham soup after Christmas using the ham bone.
Yeah, right.
It's not only a great use of peas, it's a sequel to Christmas. Mm. It keeps Christmas alive.
Yeah.
Honestly, I made this so long ago, I don't know which recipe I used. I tried to look it up again. I remember it had like, I made a stock with the bone. I sweated down some leeks, I think, with some garlic and some tarragon or some shit.
Mm.
And then I cooked that for a while, and then I put frozen peas in, and I cooked that for a while, and then I poured the stock into that, and then I whizzed it with a stick blender, and then I put all the ham that I picked off the bone, and then I added some garlicky croutons.
Delicious. Can I eat it now?
You can eat it now.
Okay.
And let's just
thanks for the recipe.
See if Emily survives.
Mm, it's so good.
What I like to call
it's so sweet
March
and salty
Christmas leftover soup. I will.
It's very festive.
I'm not gonna. It's been frozen. Oh, I know you're a bit worried. We left the house a long time ago. We've been at other meetings today. It was frozen the whole time, and okay. I thought it just before, and I ate some of it yesterday. So I actually hacked a frozen bit off for you to keep it frozen until just before I heated it up for you. And I ate a whole lot of it yesterday and I didn't die as far as I can tell.
I actually think this is the best pea and ham soup I've ever had.
Okay.
But I mainly eat it out of the can. So.
Slightly better than that.
Yeah.
Then we're doing okay. So March Christmas leftover soup. Emily, thank you for trying it out and God be with you. Okay, what do we talk about?
I did a rant on the sound of frozen peas and then made a little pea snack inspired by laksa.
And I invented the pie floater chip and made Emily taste test some soup that I made several months ago.
Yes, so you can vote for whose facts you found the most interesting on our Instagram. It's in Greetapedia. Thank you so much for listening. If you like our unhinged food podcast, please check us a little 5-star rating and we would love you more than we love Viennetta.
What?
Do it. I dare you.
That's true though.